Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, Jesus reveals to his apostles his identity, as well as his mission, and where his mission will lead him to. Notice how the Gospel passage opens up. Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude, we'll stop right there. It's a basic biblical theme. Prayer was an indispensable event in Jesus' daily life. If you look throughout all four of the Gospels, you see Jesus always going out to some deserted location and praying to God the Father. Prayer was vital in Jesus' daily life. And so, if prayer was that important for Christ, it should also be with us. We must be people of prayer. Next, it says, Jesus was praying in solitude, and the disciples were with him. Now, that's a beautiful picture. Jesus, surrounded by his apostles, and they are all praying. Well, that's exactly what we do every time we gather for Mass. We, too, are with Christ. He is at the center of our worship. We pray to him and with him. What we see at the very beginning is this beautiful portrait of our church, Jesus with his apostles praying. Next, it says that Jesus asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Now, this is an interesting question that Christ asks of them. He doesn't say, you know, what do the people think about my teaching? Or he doesn't ask them, what do the people think about what I'm doing and the miracles that I've performed? He doesn't ask them those questions. Instead, he asked them a question about his identity. Who do the people really think he is? Notice now the opinions. It said they said in reply, John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. Now these are a wide variety of opinions. The one thing that they all have in common, they are all dead wrong. Now we shouldn't be too harsh in judging the public's opinion of Jesus. They don't spend that much time with Jesus. Maybe they've heard bits and pieces of Jesus' teachings. Maybe or maybe not, they've been witnesses to Jesus' miracles. And so, therefore, the public crowd, they have an uninformed opinion of Christ. And yet Jesus then, he says to the apostles, "But who do you say that I am?" Now Jesus directs this question at the apostles. Now this is an interesting question, a question that Christians throughout the centuries have wondered. And this is the reason why our church, from time to time, has called council after council to grapple with this question. Now if there's anyone that should know Jesus' identity, it should be the apostles. Why? Because they're with Christ all the time, day after day. For years, they eat with him, they travel with him, they're being taught by Jesus every day, they have conversations with him all the time. They've probably witnessed many of his miracles. If there's anyone who should know Jesus' identity, you'd think it would be the apostles. But when Jesus asks that question, there is dead silence. The apostles don't speak up. In that silence, we can only assume that the apostles themselves are unsure as to who Jesus truly is. And yet, Peter speaks up. It says, Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." The public crowds, they don't know Jesus. The apostles, in their silence, we can assume that they are skeptical about who Jesus really is. But Peter, and Peter alone, knows who Jesus truly is. He gets it, and he gets it right. And so it begs the question, why does Peter get it and no one else does? Is it because Peter is the holiest of all the apostles? Hardly. Peter, if you look at all the Gospels, his faith is constantly vacillating. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. In fact, one could argue that John might be the holiest of all the apostles. It's John who is constantly referred to as the one that Jesus loved the most. It's John who follows Jesus all the way to the cross. It's John who actually stands at the foot of the cross when all the other apostles ran away from Christ. So is Peter now the smartest? Did he use his own intelligence to figure it out? Not at all. Peter is just a simple fisherman. So how does Peter come to know? Through the divine revelation that is given to him by God the Father. Peter did not come to understand Jesus' identity in his own way, based upon his own intelligence or his own holiness. Peter came to know the correct identity of Christ based upon the inspiration of the Father. Upon this inspirational confession of Peter, this is what our church is now built upon. What we have to understand is our church and the teaching of our church is not based upon popular opinion polls. Now, there are people in our church that would say, well, the church is outdated. It needs to keep up with the signs of the times. It needs to use public opinion polls to gauge where Catholics are, what they believe in, and what they want. More to it, there are people who would argue, well, let's govern the church by majority vote or by public opinion. Well, if we are to follow public opinion in determining our faith and understanding it, we would be completely wrong, just like those people in the gospel. Notice what those people said. Well, he's John the Baptist. He's Elijah. Still others said that Jesus was one of the ancient prophets risen from the dead. Well, if we are to recognize public opinion polls and use that to determine our faith and understand God and God's identity, as well as all the aspects of our faith, then we would be completely wrong in everything, in our understanding of God, understanding of our faith, and in practicing it. We, as Catholics, have the belief that Peter, as well as his successors, the popes, govern our church due to or because of that spiritual charism of the Holy Spirit, due to that same divine inspiration that God the Father gave Peter. Now, a great criticism of this is that if we believe our church is governed by Peter and his successors, the popes, that it stifles intellectual freedom. In fact, it does just the opposite. It promotes intellectual freedom. In fact, I would argue because our church has rules and because there is authority in our church, our faith is more vibrant and is able to grow because of it. I'll give you a great analogy to help you understand this better. You take a bunch of kids, you give them a football, and then you say to them, well, go out into the field and go play. Well, if those kids don't know the rules of football, or they don't abide or follow those rules, essentially chaos erupts, and those kids are not going to have any fun. But if those kids know the rules of football, for example, there's 6 points in a touchdown, 3 points in a field goal. The field is 100 yards long. You need 4 downs in order to reach the first down. If they follow all the rules of football, that's when they begin to have fun and enjoy the game. Well, the same thing holds true with us. Essentially, we need rules and authority to help direct our faith lives. And see, this encourages intellectual freedom, and it helps our faith grow stronger. Now let's get back to the gospel. Jesus has revealed his identity to the apostles, and now he tells them his mission. He says, the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus now tells the apostles what his mission is. He's preparing them. Now realize, when the apostles experience Jesus dying on the cross, it's going to be traumatic. and so he's preparing for what they are about to see. Better yet, he's letting them know exactly what type of Messiah he is and what type of Messiah he is not. He is not the warrior or political Messiah that the Israelites have been longing for centuries. He is a Messiah, yes, but he's a Messiah that will save the world by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Next, Jesus then tells the apostles, and now us, what our mission is. Then he said to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Jesus is now teaching us that Christian discipleship involves self-denial and self-sacrifice. Just as Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross to save the world, so too with discipleship in Christ, it requires sacrifice, putting the needs of others before our own needs. Jesus continues, and he says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Jesus now is kind of turning it up a notch. He's telling his apostles and us, if you want to be my follower, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And oh, by the way, I might ask that you lay down your life for me. Now, Jesus is not telling us that we have to leave this church today and go out and become martyrs. No, instead, what he's trying to teach us is that we must have a steadfast loyalty to Christ and to the teachings of his church each and every day of our life. And we can accept and accomplish this mission, just like the apostles did. How? By knowing our identity. And that's where we have to turn to the second reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul says, "Through faith, you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free person. There is not male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Paul is telling us that after the moment of our baptism, we began to participate in the life of Christ. And now we must also participate in the mission of Christ. Now it's so interesting. In the gospel, Jesus first reveals his identity and then his mission. Why? Because they're so closely related to one another. In fact, from Jesus' identity flows his mission. Jesus, yes, is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is our Savior and Lord. And from that identity flows his mission. He must now save the world. The same thing holds true with us. From our identity flows out our mission. We recognize, as Paul says, we are children of God. And because of that, now we must go out into the world and continue the mission of Jesus Christ. Continue to carry that self-sacrificing love of Christ into the world, into other people's lives. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.